Thank you. Thank you, Al. Thank you for asking me to share tonight.
Absolutely.
And thanks for everyone here tonight and for everyone on the conference call hookup. So tonight I wanted to share about God's faithfulness in the face of our doubts. In Hebrews 10:23 says, God is faithful who has promised. And in Timothy 2, which is also on the board there, at 2:13, it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. What does it mean to be faithful? To be faithful means that you're trustworthy. You're trustworthy. You can be trusted. And, like, you know, if you can think about a friend, someone that you don't know very well, just like a new friend, you know, you can loan them something very valuable, right? But at the first time when you start doing that, you don't know if the person is going to actually return it to you, take care of it. But then as you get to know this person, the more you get to know them, the more you see that they're consistent with what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And they actually keep their promise. They say they're going to do something. So as a result, we get to trust the person more and more, and it becomes easier and easier to trust them because they're trustworthy. The same goes for God. The more we see his faithfulness, the easier it is for us to trust him. And for most of us, trusting God is a process of getting to know him. So I'd like us to go to Mark, and Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 23. And it says, is everybody there?
Yep.
And it says, but Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible for those who believe. Immediately, the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. The boy's father had taken his son to be healed by the disciples, to be delivered by the disciples, and the disciples could not help him. And when he saw Jesus, he said, I do believe, help my unbelief. He was doubting. Actually, what he really meant to say was, I want to believe, but I doubt it, so please help me. The father was honest with Jesus. But Jesus did not rebuke him, but showed compassion and healed the boy. And I'd like to go to John 20 and starting at verse 24. This is after the resurrection. Christ was seen of his disciples, but Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were closed, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your fingers here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it on my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Now, Thomas walked with Jesus, right? He saw his wonders. He saw his miracles. He knew that he was the Son of God, yet he doubted. He did not believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected, so like he said he was going to be. So Jesus wasn't frustrated with him or condemned him for that, but he actually showed him his wounds. He said, touch my wounds so that he could have the evidence and he could believe. And I love this account because it shows the heart of our God. It shows the heart of Jesus. God meets us where we are. He doesn't scold us for needing reassurance. So I'd like us to go to Genesis 17, starting at verse 17. Abraham fell down. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born of a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." What he was really saying here is like, you know, I don't really believe this thing that I'm going to have a child with Sarah, okay? So I've got Ishmael here. Why can't you bless him and make him your covenant, right? But God said, yes, I'll bless him, but he's not the covenant. So then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Abraham laughed at the idea because he saw that God was saying an impossibility. Like, God, you know, how would you feel if you were at that point in your life, 100 years old, and all of a sudden God said, you're going to have a son, and Sarah, 90 years old, is going to bear it. Right? So he's laughing at it. And he wasn't, you know, he wasn't seeing things God's way. God sees beyond our five senses, right? God is omniscient. God knows all things. But he was seeing things with his five senses. And that's what a lot of us do many times as well. God didn't chastise Abraham for not believing. Right? Instead, he reaffirmed the promise and his plans. He said, yeah, I know you don't believe, but this is what I'm going to do. God didn't go back on his promise just because Abraham didn't believe. Okay, so even though Abraham didn't show much believing, God didn't say, well, you're not believing, so I'm not going to give you what I said. You know, I'm still going to do what I said, whether you believe it or not. God is faithful even when we doubt. So trusting God is a process. And in the process, God strengthens us like he did Abraham and Sarah while they were waiting for Isaac, which took years, by the way. So I want to share something about me, actually. Over 10 years ago, my marriage fell apart. I felt betrayed. I felt abandoned by a man I really trusted. I was left financially bankrupt and heartbroken. The life I knew was shattered. I didn't know how I was going to survive. I found it hard to trust anyone, including God. Excuse me. Okay. It's been tough, but God took care of me every step of the way. He provided for me, even though I didn't know how I was going to be provided for. And often I still get discouraged, and I feel like God has forgotten me, you know, because I have a lot of things that I want, a lot of things that I pray for, and I feel like, God, it's been a long time, and these things have still not come to pass. So I get discouraged, but his word says, you'll never leave me nor forsake me, even if I'm questioning. So I just keep going every day, you know, just sometimes I get really discouraged, but then I keep going back to, okay, wait a minute, God said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He has a plan for me. And even though I don't see it right now, I know it's there, right? But it's not always easy to do. You know, I'm going back and forth. I'm taking it back, I'm giving it back. I'm taking it back, I'm giving it back. So I'd like us to go to Isaiah 40. And starting at verse 29, it says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and faint not. Now, this is really, I mean, I'm sure everyone here has had reassurance from God at some point in their life, when they really needed it. God is amazing. You know, like, this was a time in my life where I was completely broken and lost. I felt lost. I didn't know who I was anymore. no, this is, do you want to put it here instead? Okay. So this was a time where I was really lost. And 3 times in 3 days, God repeated this particular verse to me, Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. It was not a coincidence. It was God. And he brought it to me in very amazing ways. One was a pastor. And the other two, I don't remember, was a friend of mine that I hadn't heard forever. And she kind of gives me this verse as well. So I'm like, okay, God, you're definitely speaking to me. And I'm sure everyone here has had, when they've felt really discouraged in their life, and God has come through like that. Because he wants to encourage us, and he wants to take care of us. You know, he wants to comfort us. So the song at the beginning of the fellowship that I wanted to put on, that song is something that every time I hear, I get very emotional. And the reason I get emotional is because I remember that when it first came out, I was crying. And I asked God, I said, God, I'm not the same person I used to be. I don't know if I'll ever be that person again. I don't know if I'll ever smile again. I don't know. You know, I just felt like I can't even describe it. I felt like my whole life had been shattered. And the song comes on the radio, and I'm driving at this time. And all of the words of the song are the way that I was feeling. And God was telling me, let your heart beat again. Let your heart beat again, because I felt so dead inside. I felt like I couldn't dream anymore about anything. I had nothing to look forward to. And it was just, when the song came out, you know, God just gives you little snippets like, I'm here. I haven't forgotten about you. Even though it seems that way, I am here. Right? So I know that God loves us very much. He loves us all so, so much that I can't even understand that kind of love. It's impossible for me. I don't fully understand it, and I never have. But I know he loves us so much. And in these little things that he does, how he takes care of us, how he provides for us. You know, I mean, I thought I was going to be without a home. I thought I was going to be without a roof over my head, anything to eat. I mean, I didn't know what I was going to do. And he took care of me, just took care of me. Things happened. I didn't even have to look for it or even ask for it. As a child, I went to Roman Catholic school in Italy with the nuns. I was in convent. So it's the only thing I knew. When I went to public school, everybody, I didn't get along with all the kids, the kids that were not in Catholic school, because they couldn't understand me, I couldn't understand them. So I kept going to Catholic school, even when I went to Australia afterwards. So my mother put me in public school. She put me in public school. I couldn't stay there. You know, I was bullied because I just didn't know how to be anywhere else but Catholic school. And when I was a child, what I learned about God, because, you know, they do talk about God a lot, and what I learned about God is that he was a scolding God. He scolded me, you know, and he knew what I was doing. Even if I tried to hide, if I did something wrong, God was going to know. You know, he was a God that tested me to teach me a lesson, not to love me, but to test me. And then I learned that, you know, he required sacrifice. You know, if I sacrifice enough, then maybe I would be worthy to God. Thank you, guys. You know, I needed work.
God told me.
So until I took the PFAL class, I really was afraid of God. I was afraid of God. Aww. You know, I mean, I wanted to love him. I wanted to be loved by him. I wanted his attention. But I felt like he was always looking at me. And whenever I'm doing something wrong, you know. that's how I felt about God. I even called in the higher power, you know, because there was a period in my life where I just wanted to stay away from the God that I'd known as a child. So I would call in the higher power, you know. Didn't call him the universe, but I called him the higher power. And that's the only way I could feel any close to him, because, you know, it was a higher power. It's not, and nothing to do with Jesus Christ or what I learned as a child, right? So getting to know Jesus Christ, though, has helped me to understand who God is, because you can't trust someone you don't know.
Mm-mm.
Right? So the disciples asked Jesus, "Show us the Father." And Jesus answered, "If you've seen me, you have seen the Father." And so when we look at Jesus Christ's life here on earth, and we read about what he has done and how he entreated other people, we know that Jesus Christ was compassionate, he was loving, he never said no when somebody came to him for help. He was strong, but at the same time, he loved. You know, everyone could see his love, and that's who God is. God, Jesus Christ showed to the world who God really is. So, Jesus is near to the brokenhearted. And that's one of the things that I kept telling myself when I was going through a hard time. You know, no matter what, I mean, my friends left me, my family left me, they just turned their back on me. My friends turned their back on me, they thought, oh, you know, she's going through this. They kind of like didn't want to have anything to do with me. But Jesus was near to me because I was brokenhearted. And no one could understand, but Jesus could, because he has been brokenhearted as well. So Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, to the end of the age." People cannot be trusted. Nobody can be trusted, really, because we're just people, right? People will let us down. They can promise one thing and do another. They can betray our trust and lie to us. But God always can be trusted, even when we don't trust him. So I'd like us to go to Philippians 1, and starting at verse 6, Paul is speaking to the believers at the church of Philippi here, and he says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." God doesn't leave us unfinished. We keep growing in faith until Christ returns. So we know that Christ will return. That is the great finale of the whole thing, which is we're going to see the glory of God. And he's not left us. You know, we're not unfinished. We're not, you know, one day we believe more, another day we believe less, or we trust him less, or we trust him more. But that is not going to change the way God feels for us. So trusting God is a process, and it may take time, but God is patient. Finally, no matter where we are in our journey, whether doubting or believing, struggling or thriving, lonely or surrounded, nothing can separate us from God's love. The love is a covenant. That love is a covenant, a promise from God that he will never change. And I'd like us to go, like to finish with going to Romans 8, starting at verse 38. And it says, "For I am convinced." This word convinced is the Greek word pitho, P-I-T-H-O, pitho, which in Greek means unwavering conviction. Mm-hmm. Unwavering conviction. Paul is saying here by revelation, I am convinced. I have conviction, unwavering conviction, that neither death nor life, and I like to go slow with this because, you know, we go through this verse very quickly, but it's an amazing verse. Mm-hmm. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you very much.
Wow. Amen. Thank you, Lena. Would you please close with a prayer?
Yes. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for your great love towards us, Father. Thank you for your patience, Father. Thank you that we can grow in faith and believing, Heavenly Father, each and every day, and that you're always with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us, Father. You're always there to comfort us, watch over us, protect us, Father. Thank you for all of it. Thank you for everyone here and everyone on the conference call. Thank you, God, that you bless them. And where there's needs, we know that you supply every need, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful.